Hi, Tony. I'm going to record some workshop information right now that I would like to have put at the end of the tape rather than the beginning. I'm just not going to be here after the meeting, so I need to put it on before the meeting. So if you could take these few minutes and just place them at the end of the Bartholomew meeting tape, I would certainly appreciate it. Okay, here we go. Before we leave, I would like to say a few words about our annual Taos Winter Workshop. This year, it will be held on January 4th and 5th, 1992, in Taos, New Mexico. This is our annual silent, inner-directed workshop, which will be held up on the mesa here in Taos. Please come prepared for several 20-minute rounds of walking or seated meditation per day. Bartholomew uses the deep silence of the present season to explore and strengthen the silence in ourselves. The sweat lodge in this workshop is not included. The cost of the workshop is $175 per person. To register, send a $75 deposit made out to Vista Grande School to Joy Franklin, P.O. Box 2996, Taos, New Mexico 87571. Your reservation will be confirmed immediately, and a complete information packet will be sent out 3 weeks prior to the workshop. Thank you. This is November 24th, and the last meeting of the year will be on December 15th, 1991, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well then, my friends, good morning.
Good morning.
As all of you who have worked with this material know by now, I use a lot of Mary Margaret's awareness to play with her permission, because she is a human being living a human life with human difficulties and ups and downs and victories and so on. I'm sorry. All right, then. I have decided many years ago to use human awareness in order to bring the symbols of the so-called invisible world to you. And one of my obvious resources is, of course, Mary Margaret. And so, therefore, when I talk about things that she has read or understood or had come to her awareness, please understand that is the excitement, I think, of any energy field outside of the earth plane. The excitement is to be able to commingle with earth consciousness and bring to life symbols that are deeply in the psyche of mankind. These psyches are all your psyches are relatively the same. I know that might be a great insult to some of you. Basically, the substance of psycheism, I'm playing games with you now, is relatively the same. And so when you begin to understand that there's a great deal of similarity, then you see our excitement, which is to come down, as you would call it, we would say, expand through and into the world, and to make real some of those symbols. So that's what we'd like to play with this morning. And again, we go back to Raymond Moody's book, The Light Beyond. I assure you, Mary Margaret gets no royalties from this book, although it might seem so. And remember a very small statement that he makes about a man whose daughter has fallen off of a craft, an ocean craft, in Puget Sound, and is 40 feet under the water. And he has to make a free dive to get her. And he finds her because there is a light illuminating from her, 40 feet under the water, which he sees and follows and finds her. The reason that this is important for you today is it is going to become more and more alive for you as you pay attention to the next years of how the light is going to begin to change in people's consciousness, in your consciousness, in your hope, in your being, in your awareness. So let us talk about what that light was, and hopefully to come to that point where you feel where it is in you. So we have this daughter who is not, you know, the reincarnation of any great saint. She isn't anyone particularly unique other than in the sense that you are all unique. But she is who she is. And yet, in this process called dying, or almost dying, the light is released to such an intense degree that it can be perceived through 40 feet of water, which is probably not absolutely clear. And the question I hope arises in you is, what's that about? How can I, each of you, begin to release this in your own life? And how to, and this I think is the important thing, how to perceive it as increasing. Now, right here we run into a lot of difficulties with spiritual paths. Because many of you view the path as trying to increase your light. And you say, I want to do these things to increase this light, and so on and so on. Well, on one level of reality, I think that we could assume that you do increase and decrease your light, just like you turn the lights on and off in your home. But the fact remains that the amount of light that is available to any of you, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your lifestyle, regardless of anything, is exactly the same as for anyone else. Now, I realize I'm speaking heresy, because after all, if you have a religion that says you must pitter-patter up the ladder, and I come in and say, look, it's all the same, there's the same amount of light on every rung of that ladder, you know, you can sit on any rung you want, then I realize that we are in a difficulty. Believe what you please. It's entirely up to you. Because they're both true. Can you pitter-patter up the ladder? Oh, absolutely. And may I say that most of you have been doing that for a long time. A long, long, long time. And one of my great delights in the time we have left is to try to break you loose from the idea that your actions tell you how much God energy you can at any moment plug into your life and your system and make real for you. You see, this is really the one place where this body of teaching differs from what I would call the orthodox presentation of consciousness. And as you begin to think about this today, and I hope you will, to redefine for yourselves as graphically, as dynamically as you can, a new model in your awareness for availability of life source. It isn't that you have to get up out of the bed and go over and flip the switch. You know, you are who you are, and the light is what it is, and it is constant. And the light is not concerned with all of the questions that many people deal with. It is interested in one thing, and that is, are you asking? The light has no favorites. Remember, we've talked about this before. The light and God have no favorites. It would be a very unkind and loving God that would say, because you are miserable, you have done some harmful things to yourself, and as a result, you have been harmful in other people's experience. And because of this, I will not give you the one thing that could take away your harmfulness. I will let you instead struggle in some way in the dark, and one day, when you have struggled enough, I will bestow the gift of the light and the love so that you can perceive those places in your awareness where you have suffered so deeply inside yourself and as a consequence have suffered by your causing suffering for others. So the whole idea here is to get you in touch with the image of this girl at the bottom of this sound and something has been released that is so full of luminosity that is perceived by the human eye That light is precisely what is contained in every one of the trillion cells in your body. There is no cell in your body, no matter how diseased you may perceive that cell to be, there is no cell that has less of it. There is no cell that has more of it. There is no cell that has a special key that you have to find the lock to and the key to and then release it so that it pulls forth in pulsating awareness. There is just in the heart of every one of the trillions of cells is the light. Outside of the cells is the light. Outside of your body is the light. It is all there. What remains is for you to begin, and I hope some of you begin this day, to begin to really walk around, imagining that those cells are aglow. If you've had a health problem and you can't determine the cause of it, it is probably not physical. It probably has to do with not letting go. So when you begin to understand that letting go is a moment by moment by moment thing, that you don't wait for letting go till the big days. You know, many of you are waiting for the big day. Guess what it is? When I die, I'm going to let go. Well, I think you should start letting go a lot sooner than that, like today. Like this moment. And I mean something very specific when I say that. It means to get in touch with something I've talked about before, the constant on and off of the light in your physical body. It flicks on with power and recedes into the depths of source. It goes out as if to rejuvenate every cell, and then it goes back into its power. They're beginning to find this kind of thrust in all of the medical drama that's coming down. Beautiful things about to happen. Watch. The next 5 years, beautiful things, beautiful awareness. But for the moment, to walk around realizing that every other whatever, the light is being released full flood in your body. I mean full flood. I don't care what you were thinking or doing, what you have done in the past, what you're thinking about in the next moment. The light is impersonal. Do you remember this? It's called the impersonal light. It is impersonal. It is not in a state of judgment, as is part of your consciousness, which is what you call your ego self. The light is as it is, and the light that goes through the light socket here, the light circuitry, doesn't care if we are having a world war or a world peace drive. It will light up either event with the same amount of care and devotion and power. And as such, each one of you are walking around with trillions of, I don't know, megahertz. Is that a good word? I love it. I have no idea what it means. But trillions of megahertz of power, of celestial megahertz power. Is there? We have just created something. Something wonderful, constantly throbbing through your system. And what keeps it from healing you on the spot, what keeps from healing you on the spot is that instead of being aware of and excited by and allowing yourself to remember and participate in that flood of power, you end up thinking. You spend your time thinking. Now, I've said again, and we repeat endlessly, there's nothing wrong with thinking. It's a wonderful thing for things that do with thinking. It is not a lot of help for things that have to do with power. You cannot think yourself into power. But you can certainly become aware of power, and I mean not some kind of arrogant, egotistical power over, but a continuous power source. So please understand, the person who is a paraplegic has as much access to power as does the athlete running in some marathon. The same amount of energy is there. Are they going to use it in the same way? Obviously not. But to please get the feeling deeply inside of you, deeply inside, that you are constantly letting go all of this amazing power. Example, let us say that you have a pain somewhere in your body. You know the first thing you do. You start thinking about it. Where did it come from? Who caused it? Did I cause it? How can I stop it? How am I going to do this? Maybe Chopra can help me. I mean, who knows what it is? Right. But the first and obvious thing is already under your nose. And what is it? It's you. At that moment, my friends, I can tell you endless numbers of tiny little pains, emotional pains, mental pains, and physical pains would not come to full-blown neurosis, would not come to full-blown something if you would take care of it as the pain arises, You know, Ms. Franklin suggested and put into the book something that I apparently have said, which is that God is the quick fix of the universe. And I mean that from the very depths of consciousness. And I mean the quick fix means now. Many of you are suffering not from anything so much as an accumulation of tension and pain and sorrow. And the way to understand how to begin to help yourself not have those characteristics going on is to realize that as the pain arises, take care of it. As the emotional pain arises, the anger, the resentment, the self-pity, the hatred, I don't care what it is, do not simply say, I'll take care of it later. This is, if I could put it this way, a serious moment. And as such, in this moment, please begin to understand it. Begin to, if I could just tell you, to flood it with the power of consciousness. May I repeat that? To flood the entire thing with the power of consciousness. And if you say you don't know how, I think it's because you haven't practiced. And when you begin to practice, you will be able to do it with great ease. And you will all do it differently. This is a very strange way to do this. Yes. So, when you begin to realize that with the arising of any kind of dis-ease of any nature, what is happening is the entire system is sending you a signal, and it's saying, would you please pay attention? And you're saying, I'll pay attention after I've thought it over, after I've discussed it until my friends are absolutely bored, until my doctor is very wealthy or my therapist can go on the Caribbean cruise. And when all of that is finished, then I will think about this in your way. Meaning, I will stop thinking, I will stop trying, I will sit with it, and I will flood it with consciousness. And when you begin to do that, many things can happen. I have told you, until you're all ready to scream, that with the arising of every problem, there arises the solution. It does not happen in linear life. It doesn't happen that you have a problem, and then you suffer and suffer and suffer and suffer, and then finally, oh, God blesses you, and here's the answer. What kind of a God is this? Rather than that, with the arising of the problem, if you would just understand that within the force and the power of the problem is also the force and the power of the clarity for the problem, you do not believe that. And because you do not believe that, you go into what I call linear rescue. You use the power of the linear to wait for the moment when something is going to come along and rescue you. Now, in those days, weeks, months, years, lifetimes, whatever length of time it is, you are under stress. And as that stress goes on, moment to hour, to week, to year, to whatever, the accumulation takes place. It actually lodges in the physical body. Many of the emotional problems are lodged in the physical body and begin to manifest as physical manifestations of that. So, what is the solution? I will tell you again, I know you're tired of it. Here we go. The moment that you feel dis-ease, there is a vast array of willingness present in that moment to flood the feelings. Did you hear that word? To flood the feelings that you are experiencing. And as you flood the feelings with this extraordinary something, this awareness, just whatever, you begin to see 5 different ways to solve it, 10 different ways. You begin to open up the opportunities. You begin to feel a power and an energy present in the midst of your pain, and that is where the release comes. Let us say that you have a problem locked in your jaw, somewhere in your face. When you begin to flood it, and flood it, and flood it, you will begin to almost hear in your mind things that you haven't said, things that you wish you'd said, reasons why you were clamping down, reasons why you're trying to distance yourself from. All of these things are available to you. What is required on your part is something very simple. Is to sit down and take the amazing wonder of pain seriously. You have spent many lifetimes trying to get away from one of the greatest helps that you will ever have, and that is pain. Pain is the first sign of a harmonic imbalance. And when you begin to understand without fear that it comes as the bringer of help, the bringer of hope, the bringer of consciousness, then you will begin to view this pain as something much different than you do now. You say to me, well, that's great. You tell me now, and I'm, 58 years old, and I've got all these pains, and I'm a mess, and I'm taking 6 medications, and what am I going to do? You begin where you are. And you don't start feeling sorry for yourself, and you don't have a facelift. You just keep on going. You just keep going. You just remember that the law applies. I tell you this, you have absolutely no idea how much of this internal power and combustion of God consciousness with clarity can begin to move through your present situation and show you alternatives that you have never dared to dream. You have never dared to dream of some of the solutions that are possible in this moment. What is missing is the power. What's missing is the focus. What's missing is the thanking of the pain and the situation to remind you, this is a living process. I am a living process. My life is a living process, and pain is part of that process. Not in some kind of a despairing sense, but a sense of the delight. Now, you've all read, that's not true. Many of you have read books that describe pain, and people who are intensely in pain. And what they find as they begin to study pain and bring them back to their pain, deeply back to their pain, they begin to find that their pain doesn't feel much different than their happiness. Their pain doesn't feel much different than the upwelling of joy. And your mind says, I don't believe that. And I agree with you. Your mind says, I don't believe that. Absolutely. But I want you to please, if this is the only time you hear this, I want you to realize, if you want a solution to your problem, if you sincerely want a solution to your problem, and do not want to hang on to it for whatever reason, I want you to know that the power and the compassion and the clarity is present. It is released. Just as the girl's light was released as she made her way down, as her yearning for life, her acceptance of her state, her seeing and feeling the vastness of the light of God, in the joy of her being, it released. Did you hear that? Let me repeat it again. I know I speak strangely, as Ms. Franklin can tell you when she tries to edit my work. Remember, this was meant to be an oral teaching. This was meant to be an oral teaching, and to translate it into words is difficult. And I thank you. I thank you. Difficult job. So, again, here we have a girl going down through the water, aware of all the things that you would be aware of, some of the fear, some of the terror, and then all of a sudden, there's an opening. And in the opening, she has moved into another state of consciousness. And in the depths of the sound, of the Puget Sound water, is totally immersed in the light of another reality. She does not see the light of that other reality through the water. Please understand. She does not see it through the water. She is no longer aware of her physical and the water. She has moved her awareness to another plane of consciousness, and she's totally immersed in another reality at the same time that the body is going through what it goes through. Remember, we have said this again and again. You have the power to take the focus of your consciousness and place it anywhere you want. This is the prime example of that. So this girl, when she can move through her terror, when she relaxes into the knowing that death is coming, when she relaxes into the moment, she leaves behind the body and all of its trauma and takes her point of consciousness, which is always in your hands, and places it in the next level of reality, which is there's nothing but light, there's nothing but love, there's nothing but the totality of who you are. And in that realm, in the amazing let go of joy of her perception of the realm that lies within this realm, not outside it, in this realm, the light was released to such a powerful extent that it was able to radiate through and be perceived. You do not all have to jump into Puget Sound. You do not all have to think of anything fancy. Because one of the reasons that we are here, month after month, is to remind you that whatever is available for you under stress is available for you under the normalcy of your life. I will repeat. You do not have to place yourselves in stress situations in order to release this light. You do not. But there is one thing that you do have to do. You have to be willing to acknowledge that it's there. And if you do not acknowledge, then it cannot be released. When you are in an unconscious state, when the girl moved out of consciousness, the automatic parts of awareness took over and brought her to that point. That is not what happens in your normal life. So the difference is simple. Instead of having stress release you, you have got to do the releasing. You have got to be willing, moment after moment, to remember and release. To remember and release. In the beginning, it will be imperfectly done. You may say, "This is nonsense. I don't feel anything. What a bunch of wind." But I would like to ask you to persevere as many moments of the day as you can without understanding what release means. And as you begin to build, you build the release. You just build the mechanism of release. And then you will find yourself one moment feeling a little, "Ah, that feels good." Meaning, without your knowing, some problem that had stymied you or buried you or imprisoned you now seems to be a little less heavy upon you. And so you go to the next moment and then the next moment. And you say to me, "But I have a life to live. I have these important things to do. You see, I'm this important person. I have this job. And I have to take care of this, and I have to do that." And I say, "Absolutely." And I am in no way asking you to withdraw from life's arena. In fact, I strongly suggest none of you withdraw until the time is naturally there to do that. But in the midst of the life that you are living, I want you to really know that there are at least 100 ways for you to release into that remembrance every other moment of your life. If you had a pain in your right foot, an incredible gash on the bottom of your foot, and you were climbing up the Alps, I suspect that you would remember your pain in your boot. And you don't find that amazing, but you find it amazing that you would be able to remember the bliss. The bliss. I am talking about ever-increasing bliss that comes from the remembrance of the release of the light. Whatever your circumstance, however imprisoned or however difficult your destiny may have been to this moment, to begin to consciously release that is going to bring the thing that you really want, which is the clarity. My friends, to suffer without knowing why you suffer is hell. But to suffer knowing the incredible usefulness of that brings very high states of consciousness. Some of you are caught in a karmic situation that may continue suffering for a while. I would ask you not to worry so much about that, but to hear carefully what we've tried to graphically give you a picture of today, that the best medication from this moment on, whatever, on whatever level, the disaster or the difficulty or the pain, is the release of the ever-constant, ever-healing light. It's called the healing light because it heals, and it heals in a way that brings you clarity. For example, you may have had physical suffering, mental suffering, emotional suffering for much of your life, and you find yourself in a cloud, in darkness, why, I don't know why, and so on. Perhaps some of you have gone through years of therapy and had some understanding, but the light of, aha, hasn't come yet. If you will begin this simple technique, moment after moment, I would like to promise you, done with sincerity, there will come a moment when you will see your situation and the light will go on. Meaning, you will deeply understand from the deepest part of your awareness why this drama was being played in your life. What it meant, the incredible integrity of your choice, the integrity of your choice for having selected something so difficult. There will come into you an honoring of yourself for what you have done, what you have achieved, what you have lived through. And at the same time that you begin to honor yourself comes this amazing moment when you honor everyone else in the world, no matter what their drama looks like, because in that moment of your understanding of your choice, your drama, the integrity of your way of being, comes the knowing that everyone, no matter how bleak it looks, has the same kind of integrity, has the same kind of dynamic, alive living that they are doing in the midst of whatever situation they are in. And it is when that absolute admiration of their integrity takes place of pity, you know that you are almost in God's hands. Because there's never any need to pity anyone, most of all yourself. And when you begin to understand the integrity of your choice, you begin to be strong in whatever your life, in whatever way it is being played out. You get a sense of, I understand why. I understand why now. I get a feeling inside of me of the thrust of my life and why it is as it is. And in that moment comes more of a relaxation, because the difficulty with so much of your pain is that you blame yourselves. You say, I did it. And in some ways, the New Age is not helpful to you, because it comes in at a very low level of understanding often and says, well, that's your karma. Well, I don't know. I guess you did it to yourself. I guess you created that reality for yourself. That is not a helpful statement. If you have noticed, it does very little to alleviate the pain and suffering of whoever is receiving the statement. So then how can it be true that you create your own reality and still have that statement be untrue? I think most of you already know, don't you? We'll just go through it again. The life that you are living now, in its fullness, was created both by you and by all the participants in it from a vast, expansive, dynamic, alive layer of awareness. And in complicated intricacies, far more complex than any computer yet devised, various roles, jobs, identities, realities are splayed through. And, you know, I don't think anywhere in createdness I've seen a computer outside of the Earth plane. But I do want you to know that there are magnificent energy banks. I hope I'm not reaching too far, but that's all right. Let's go. There are energy banks, huge, immense energy banks of energy, filled with all incredible probabilities. Do you really think there's only computers that can figure probabilities? Your own awareness, mingled with the awareness of the vast ones. You know, it's not just so much the lords of karma, because don't they sound like a very dictatorial kind of a heavy bunch of somebodies up there doing something? So I don't like the words lords of karma. But instead, how about vast, immense beings of light, compassion, and beauty who are there in order to, at that time, merge their vast energy banks with yours and then work out the probabilities of consciousness for your play on the earth plane. If that model is not compatible with you, then this work is probably not compatible with you. Because in the end, you really have to get a feeling of the immense integrity of your life as being lived, created in a vaster place of consciousness, when all of the things that are totally unknown to you are known, when all of the necessities for you are known that you have forgotten, when the fullness of your life is there, and when you have gone through tremendous pain in this world and you say, I would never have been so stupid, you have to remember one thing. Many of you have chosen to play dramas in some of the most painful energy fields of consciousness for various reasons. One, to expand mankind's understanding of that area and to bring light to it. Why do you think 40 years ago there was never anyone who was physically abused? No one ever talked about it. And what is happening now? All of that is coming to life in the very best and the most painful sense of that coming together. Why? Because it's time to do something about those parts of human consciousness. And so many of you have chosen to play the part of the one that gets hurt. Why? Because you have in you the ability to call on the light to make a change. And if that is not an act next to saintliness, I don't know one. Do you hear what I'm saying? That you have chosen to take on these incredibly difficult areas in order, one, to bring light to the whole darkness that has been hidden in humankind. Do you think really these things never happened before? They've always been there. They were just never spoken. But you're bringing the light out in so many areas. Do you think that they would ask someone with no light to take on a job like that? I don't think so. I think they go to the best, to the brightest, to the kindest, to the ones who have a chance to ever come to compassion. Do you understand? To ever come to compassion around all of these incredibly difficult moments. And so for those of you who sit here today with this as your life, I would like for you to really hear me when I say, well done. And there will be many, many things coming in the next years, many other areas that are dark. And when more and more people choose to take the position in order to bring the compassion and the light in. You begin to understand so much more. You know, in the old days, they used to exalt the men and women who went to the stake for their beliefs, and the lions ate them, and it was considered very, very pious and very God-loving. I think what many of you are doing is far more than that. Far more than that. So I ask you to honor yourselves from that deepest place and never fall into the trap of saying, I deserved it. Because I don't believe that. And I don't believe that anyone in human consciousness deserves that. But what happens is you go through these periods of tremendous bringing of the light, tremendous empowerment. And I will tell you again, the next years are filled with it. And the more that you can be aware of this, the more that you can remember that you are filled with the light that can move into any situation, no matter how dark, and bring clarity to that moment. That is the bringer of the light. You don't bring the light in one exalted moment. You know, Francis of Assisi spent years and years and years of dwelling on the light of Christ. And then one moment, it descended in full power. But all of the moments up to that, he would very, very happily have told you, were increasing his bliss, increasing his knowing, increasing his compassion. And then the final culmination was what it was. But all of the millions of moments before then were a building of that same incredible exploding of power. Don't wait. Now is the moment of the light. Many people talk about the bringers of the light, and here you are. And you choose every moment to bring that. And you say, I don't know how. I said, but you do know how. Oh, yes, you do know how. And when you begin to practice, just as you practice your breathing, when you begin to practice, you begin to remember. And those of you who share with each other in groups or singly or however that works, share. Because you can help each other so much. In the moment of the pain, when the argument is about to start, if just one of you could say, do you think we could release any light right now, just this moment? When you find yourself beginning to go down an old road and you know so well where it leads, can you stop just for a moment and say, I'd just like to release the light now? Remember, you're not in charge. Remember, you're not in charge. There is a vast, amazing array of help, the size and width and breadth and depth that you have no conception of. Remember, we talk of what? The 5 million mile tall beings of light. 5 million mile tall beings of light. And it doesn't stop there. So we're talking about a tremendous amount of power waiting every moment. And the only thing that remains is your asking. And in the doing comes the knowing how. Comes the knowing, comes the telling, comes the sharing, comes the expansion. And then we have that wondrous ripple effect that consciousness does so well. Instead of 1 to 1 to 1, it goes 1 to 100. To 10,000, on and on and on. God is a great magnifier of the good. I would like to say that again. God is a great magnifier of the good. And any time that you find yourself, even for a small moment, giving the best goodness, whatever that means, into the moment, it is magnified. Let us go back to the light for a moment. One of the exciting things about all of the work that's being done with those who have almost died and come back is without question, they see the light. In the literal sense of that, and in the visual sense of that, they see the light. And there have been many experiences of people whose loved ones are dying. And as they leave the body, those of you that are nurses perhaps have seen this, doctors, as the body goes into what you call death, the light rises. And sometimes it can be seen coming out of the top of the head. Sometimes it can be seen filling the heart and the chest and then moving like rays out. But make no mistake, it always happens. It always happens. And those moments, that radiant heart, does not have to wait until you die. You can begin by releasing the light in the radiant heart each moment. Please understand, there is not a little bit of light in some of you, and a great deal of light in others of you. God has no favorites. Light is the light is the light. It is what you are. It is what everything is. It is what is. It's all that is. It is it. It is that. It is God. It is awareness. And so, as you just begin to choose to release, to release, to release, you'll begin to understand. Some of you have heart attacks because you're in such pain. Just begin to release. Begin to release. Whatever the pain, whatever level it's on, physical, mental, emotional, just begin to release. You have a headache, release the light. And then take the aspirin. Am I asking you to all throw out your medication? No. Just be very frank. It doesn't matter. Because in the end, it's the light. It is the light that will bring the peace. It is the light that will bring the integrity. It is the light that will bring the clarity. It is the light that will show you the way. The way of who you are, and the way of life itself, and the way of God in action in your life every moment, if you choose it. I thank you very much for coming today. And those of you that wish, we'll stay and release the light for 10 minutes. Thank you.